Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 23rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Yeah, right, a magistrate today remanded the editor of the Sunday Mail newspaper, Edmund Kudzai, in custody on allegations of terrorism.
All the matters have been referred to the High Court for bail application. The moment a person is charged with a third stage offense and the prosecutor general opposes bail, you have to apply to the High Court, not the Magistrates Court, because they won't have the jurisdiction.
Youth Minister Francis Nema says some 300,000 children are being forced to drop out of school every year due to socio-economic challenges.
Parents are facing a great problem. You get so much problem. Besides school fees, even the exercise books that cost us maybe a rand or so, you can hardly get that dollar.
And the International Monetary Fund says Zimbabwe faces serious midterm problems in achieving sustainable growth due to policy inconsistencies.
A Harare magistrate today remanded the editor of the Sunday Mail newspaper, Edmund Kudzai, in custody on allegations of terrorism. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The editor of the state-controlled Sunday Mail Weekly, Edmund Kudzai, was arraigned before the court for the second time today since his arrest last week Friday. He was brought to court in handcuffs, wearing a khaki prison garb. Kudzai is facing charges of attempting to subvert a constitutionally elected government and communicating statements that are prejudicial to the state. He is accused of running a faceless character on Facebook called Baba Jukwa, that is critical of the ZANU-PF leadership. Provincial magistrate Vakai Chikwekwe remanded Kudzai behind bars, saying he had no jurisdiction to hear a bail application in such a serious matter, and asked the accused editor to approach the High Court. Kudzai's lawyer, Admire Rubaya, confirmed this development.
What has happened is that all the matters have been referred to the High Court for bail application. The reason being that the moment a person is charged with a third stage offense and the prosecutor general opposes bail, you have to apply to the High Court, not the Magistrates Court, because they won't have the jurisdiction. As of now, we don't know, but we are definitely going to fail today.
This followed submissions by State Counsel Tawanda Zwekare, who had suggested the bail application be heard in the High Court because it was a third schedule offense, meaning that it is a very serious matter. Although the state accuses the Sunday Mail editor of being the faceless cyber character, Baba Jukwa also posted messages on his Facebook page on Sunday while Kudzai was behind bars. Meanwhile, police are reportedly looking for the editor of the privately owned Zimbabwe Independent Weekly newspaper, Dumisani Muleya, who is currently on leave. The law enforcement agents reportedly visited the paper's offices in Harare but could not find Muleya. Police spokesperson Cherit Charamba confirmed that the police are keen to interview Muleya but could not disclose the reason. Recent newspaper articles linked two Zimbabwean journalists based in South Africa to the Facebook character, but the scribes have distanced themselves from Baba Jukwa. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
This just in, the defense team says the Sunday Mail editor has not been tortured or ill-treated by the police while he is in police custody. His attorneys are expected to file a bail application at the High Court tomorrow.
Youth Minister Francis Nema says some 300,000 children are being forced to drop out of school every year due to socioeconomic challenges. Speaking on Saturday at the opening of the 22nd session of the Zimbabwe Children's Parliament and belated commemorations of the Day of the African Child, Nema said children were dropping out of school not only from failing to pay school fees and tuition, but for socioeconomic reasons. Nema said the figures, which over 5 years can add up to over a million children, are disturbing. Though boasting of an over 90% literacy rate and increased changes in the sector after the country's economic crisis, educationists recently requested a meeting with President Robert Mugabe to discuss the state of the education sector, which they say has continued to slide, affecting millions of children. Studio 7 was unable to reach Minister Nema and Education Minister Lazarus Dokora, whose phone went to voicemail. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to a parent of three school children, Robson Gambiza. Gambiza says his children, two in secondary and one in primary school, are close to facing the harsh realities of the failing economy.
Now, as a parent and an unemployed now, there is no way you can get money because now the elders who are at work now have no employment whatsoever. You cannot get help from anyone else. Now, this year was a better year because we had enough food for our kids and extra food to sell. But GMB says they no longer buy any maize, and therefore that was the only source of income we could get. You can hardly get a dollar in the money for the kids. And as a result, you find the parents are facing a great problem.
What are your children doing now? Are they in school?
As per government regulations, of course, they go to school, you see. But you get so much problems. Besides school fees, even the exercise books that cost us maybe a rand or so, you can hardly get that dollar.
What's your hope from the government in regards to this issue and getting help?
Now, before, during their campaign, you see, they had promised employment to almost everybody, isn't it? Now, instead, it is the opposite. Now, firms are closing, and that promise, they will not become fruitful, you see. And we only hoped that if now government would create jobs for the money, for our children.
That was Robson Gambiza, a parent of three school-going children. And the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe President Takawafira Joe says the figures reflect the continued decline of the education sector.
I was involved in a research during the time of Minister Desi Poltat. I was part of the National Education Advisor Body to the minister. And the research confirmed that there is a high dropout rate, particularly from grade 1 to 7. And then from grade 7 to form 2. There are several reasons why we have a high dropout rate in Zimbabwe, but basically poverty is the biggest reason why we have a high dropout rate, because many students are failing to access education because their parents are poor, and with the retrenchment in Zimbabwe, the Central Advancement Program in the 1990s, a lot of parents were retrenched. We now have an exacerbated problem because a lot of students were assisted through BIM, but since last year, BIM is no longer assisting students at primary and secondary school, and we therefore have so many students who are not accessing education.
That was Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe President Takawafira Joe speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo.
The International Monetary Fund says Zimbabwe faces serious medium-term challenges in achieving sustainable growth due to policy inconsistencies. In a statement released today following the completion of a recent IMF Executive Board consultation meeting in Harare, the International Finance Organization concluded that these challenges require strong macroeconomic and financial policies, an enabling business environment, and normalized relations with creditors. The executives stressed the need for enhancing financial sector stability through monitoring weak banks and restructuring and recapitalizing the Reserve Bank, which they said remain a priority for Zimbabwe. though Zimbabwe has recently started to acknowledge some need for change in economic policies, especially on the implementation of the Black Empowerment Program, the IMF says risk factors to growth relate to policy inconsistencies that could affect investment and financial sector vulnerabilities. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe. He says the recommendations by the IMF are in line with what many economists are proposing.
The IMF are just confirming the state of the performance of the economy, but there are major issues in the economy. They have highlighted a number of issues that government need to deal with holistically and ruthlessly.
Zimbabwe itself has taken somewhat of a turn in regards to some of its economic policies. Do you think this will help in alleviating some of these economic ills?
I think it will help, though I don't think the impact will be great or significant. We've seen some positive signals, for example, the revision to the indigenization and the economic empowerment, the towing of that hardliner stance that government had probably last year or the previous years. So I think that's positive. That's a positive signal to in both local and even foreign investors. But I think what we really need to do is to deal with the key binding constraints. And by key binding constraints, I'm referring to the issues of competitiveness. We are not competitive as an economy, and that's why our current account deficit, for example, has been widening. That's why even our budget deficit has also been widening. And all those macroeconomic variables and indicators are symptoms of an economy that is not competitive.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-00-10334. Once again, 033-00-10334.
President Robert Mugabe and the country's finance minister are leading efforts by Zimbabwe to normalize ties with Western countries after years of isolation. Zimbabwe and Switzerland recently endorsed plans to sign a memorandum of understanding aimed at strengthening bilateral investment and economic ties. The development comes as Harare is showing growing signs of frustration with China. But as Blessing Zulu reports, normalizing ties with the West still has hiccups.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa last week met with Swiss officials in an effort to normalize ties with Geneva. Swiss officials and Harare agreed to hammer out a memorandum of understanding before the end of the year. Swiss Agents for Development Deputy Head Willy Graf told the media that he hopes that Harare and Geneva will endorse the plan. Delegations from the European Union have also been to Harare in recent months. Addressing the 50th anniversary summit of the Group of 77 plus China in Bolivia last Sunday, President Robert Mugabe said Zimbabwe was ready to partner both developing and developed countries to ensure successful implementation of its economic policies. But international relations expert Clifford Mashiri says he doubts Zimbabwe's sincerity.
No, we cannot say Zimbabwe is genuinely serious. We need to add the word genuine. It's not sincere. This is just a means of trying to get legitimacy for the regime. They are not sincere. Why we say so? The BIPAs have been violated, the left, right, center.
The European Union is also meeting in November to reconsider resuming direct aid to Zimbabwe, as EU Ambassador to Harare, Aldo Della Riccia, explains.
The European Council has decided that unless there are major violations of human rights, major disruption of the democratic order and of the rule of law, on the 1st of November, the decision will be taken to lift completely Article 96, which would permit to have a normal cooperation with Zimbabwe as with all the other countries of Africa, Caribbean and the Pacific.
But despite the moves to normalize ties, Harare is still suing the 28-member EU for imposing sanctions on it. Human rights lawyer Dewama Vinga says this does not make sense.
Well, it appears to me to be more of a publicity stunt with no real benefit. In fact, if there is serious commitment to re-engagement, it would be without these legal battles that they must be set aside to allow for genuine dialogue.
After cutting ties with the West, Zimbabwe embarked on what it called the Look East policy of strengthening ties with China. But this did not yield results, as China has been reluctant to extend foreign direct investment to Zimbabwe without guarantees that Zimbabwe will be able to repay the loans. Mr. Mugabe's officials have steadily downgraded the size of China's support from $30 billion to $10 billion to $3 billion and then in February to $400 million. But even that has not materialized. Mavinga says it is better for Zimbabwe to engage the West as China has not shown a keen interest in investing in Zimbabwe. Economist Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe concurs with Mavinga. The EU and its member states say they've provided approximately 1.5 billion euros in development assistance to Zimbabwe since 2002. But in contrast, Mr. Mugabe, in a keynote address on Independence Day in April, accused the Chinese of flooding the country with cheap labor. A week later, Presidential Affairs Minister Didmus Mutasa also took a swipe at China for failing to come on board and help the country revive the economy. But former Chinese Economic and Commercial Counselor to Zimbabwe, Han Bing, said trade volumes between Beijing and Harare doubled between 2010 and 2013 to $1.1 billion. Many international relations experts agree that it is time for Mr. Mugabe's government to double its effort to mend ties with the East, West, North and South to rescue the country from economic recession. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington.
Meanwhile, Zimbabwe recorded a deficit in the first quarter of this year as it only collected $1.1 billion in revenues against its target of $1.17 billion. The Accountant General's Office attributed the decline to dwindling value-added taxes and customs duties and low gold prices on the international market. A report released by this office indicates that most of the realized funds are used for paying increased civil servant salaries backdated to January this year. Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe tells Studio 7 the government is losing more money through companies that are closing every day.
The report is basically saying that is pointing to the underperformance of the overall economy, because the underperformance of revenue is a function of the performance of the economy. So when the economy is not performing well, that also obviously negatively impacts on the revenue flows into government. And what we have witnessed over the few months is the continuation of deindustrialization. The number of companies are actually struggling to remain viable. So that is obviously affected revenue inflows through taxation and other things. And also we've witnessed an increase in the employment cost. So that has also put pressure on government revenues. That's why government has impaired that deficit.
What can the government do to address this?
I think what need they do to deal with the key binding constraints. And by key binding constraints, we are looking at a number of factors. For example, issues to do with competitiveness. We are not competitive as an economy. The cost of doing business in Zimbabwe is high. So what we need are measures that deal with that root, so that we can broaden the economic base, so that we can broaden the productive base, so that we can get our companies to produce once again. Because when companies begin to produce, when the economy begins to tick, when we deal with those issues of high cost of doing business, the issues of competitiveness, it provides an enabling framework for companies to thrive and to prosper.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe in Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
ZANU-PF has reiterated its commitment to tackle unemployment, company closures and other challenges facing people in Bulawayo and Matabeleland provinces following a crisis meeting held in the city on Saturday to address the slow pace of development in these regions. The meeting was addressed by various cabinet ministers who included the senior minister of state in the president's office, Simon Kayamoyo, lands and resettlement minister Douglas Mombeshora, transport minister Obet Mpofu, water and climate minister Sevia Kasukuwere, and small and medium enterprises minister Stembiso Nyoni. Others were home affairs minister Kembo Mohadi, sports and culture Andrew Langa, ZANU-PF supporters and provincial ministers and chairpersons. Party member and former Pelandaba Mpopoma candidate Joseph Chuma tells reporter Sithandekile Mhlanga that various projects were discussed and Minister Mpofu pledged to resuscitate the National Railways of Zimbabwe before the end of this year.
We did what you can probably call a soul searching, looking at ourselves vis-a-vis the policies that government should implement in our country, and particularly in our region here, as Matabeleland, which includes Matabeleland North, South, and Bulawayo province.
Why the Matabeleland regions?
It's not a close city. There's always been cries that Matabeleland has been left behind in terms of development, economically and otherwise. So you always remember that Bulawayo was known to be the industrial hub of Zimbabwe, if not Africa, actually. Right now, as we speak, almost virtually all industries are closing down or operating under capacity. There must definitely be deliberate attention that has to be paid to this kind of baby that is probably dying, and we want to resuscitate it, so to say.
Which issues could you say generated a lot of interest?
The topical issue was the resuscitation of industry. We're happy with the report that were given by Honorable Obed Mpofu that he's going to put his head on the block for the NRZ resuscitation project. And he even said, if this doesn't happen by the end of the year, please take me to task. And that's the kind of that's a drive that we need from our ministers.
That was Joseph Chuma, ZANU-PF member and former Pelandaba Mpopoma parliamentary candidate for the party, on the line from Bulawayo.
NetOne Chief Executive Officer Rod Kangai says the state-owned mobile telecommunications company requires more than $500 million for it to provide competitive and quality services. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare.
Presenting oral evidence to the National Assembly's Communication Technology, Postal and Courier Services Portfolio Committee, Kangai called on the government to provide adequate funding, saying NetOne cannot compete or offer quality services without investing significantly in network development. With only 2.7 million subscribers, NetOne enjoys 18% of the market share. Kangai said they are aiming to reach 3 million subscribers by the end of the year. With just below 700 base stations, Kangai says they require an extra 3,000 base stations to be able to cover every part of the country.
We are aiming at 3 million subscribers. If you are to provide a good quality of service, as you honorable members of parliament have been saying, to avoid customers leaving you, the quality of the network must be excellent. For every 1,000 customers or subscribers, you need a base station. So if you are targeting 3 million subscribers, for you to be able to offer an acceptable quality of service, you need 3,000 base stations. 3,000. So we still have a long way to go.
Kangai said the company is expecting to get a $218 million loan from China for network expansion, adding that the loan has been delayed by interference from competitors or companies associated with their rivals. He said the loan has been approved and now all documents await signing by the parties involved.
The issues we are going to be conducting through our ministry, the Chinese ambassador, to make sure that we have written to them previously. I think the Minister of Finance wrote to them to say, look, this is an urgent project. Can you facilitate this thing to be signed? There were negotiations 2 weeks ago with the financing institution, and I think most of the issues were ironed out. I would like to believe that the documents are now ready for signing.
Despite being awarded a mobile telecommunications license first, NetOne now lags behind two privately owned companies, Econet Wireless Zimbabwe and Telecel. Kangai refused to answer questions on why the company has not yet found strategic partners to improve its operations, saying that questions would be best answered by the government. Committee Chairman Nelson Chamisa said the relevant government minister would be called to testify before the committee. Meanwhile, Kangai said more than 200,000 people are now using the company's mobile money transfer service One Wallet, adding the company has ordered 1 million SIM cards for One Wallet. This, he said, is intended to extend the facility to all places around the country. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thank you for responding to our call for you to call and leave voice messages on our hotline. Here's one message left by a caller.
Concerning rape in Zimbabwe, this is a biblical issue recorded in Genesis 34 and how the rape caused a murder with Jacob's sons killing the other tribe. Rape is a spiritual matter, so women and girls must pray against being raped and get God's grace for them to be protected. This is a very fundamental issue. The second issue is stiffer sentences are not a solution. A solution lies in morals at home. We should groom children that are respectful, children that are well taught and in strict discipline. We should also aim to reduce single marriages because strict discipline is not possible where a parent is single. She is overwhelmed or he is overwhelmed by the children or he neglects the children in total. And also we should involve the perpetrators of rape and find out why they rape and also how they can stop and what solution do they have for these rape cases. Because it is a serious matter. Also think that the church should be involved. The church is already involved because the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not covet, and the rape is coveting a woman so that she would lie with her.
So please remember to use the hotline +1 202 205 9942 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave your voice message, which you can play on air.
And in sports news, Brazil's football team plays its final first round World Cup match today in Brasilia. The local popular committee against the World Cup plans a march in the capital 1 year after huge national demonstrations against the World Cup and its cost. Reporter Mavilas Mtlanganyahuye speaks to VOA reporter Nicolas Pinot, who is in Brasilia, Brazil, about Africa's representatives at the World Cup.
Hi, it's Nico Pino, live from Brazil, in Brasilia.
Nico, we saw the African teams are doing great this weekend with Algeria and Nigeria playing. What's the sentiment like there in Brazil?
Yeah, you're right. The mood is pretty great today for African teams because among the five that began the World Cup, at least three could access the next round. You mentioned Algeria. They had a huge victory, 4-2 against South Korea. You have to remember, this is the first victory for Algeria in a World Cup since 32 years. Wow, back in time. It's been a while for Algerians, and it's great because right now they rank 2 in the Group H. So if they win the next game, they have a spot for the next round. You have also a pretty good mood with the Super Eagles because Nigerians, it was not easy, but they had a victory against Bosnia. And today, they're also second in the group. So it's not going to be easy for them because the next game is going to be against Argentina. So it's going to be difficult. But if they perform against Argentina, they will advance the next game.
Thank you. That was VOA reporter Nicolas Pinot speaking with Studio.